Y'all noticed a bird flying around a while ago? I'll come back to that in a minute. This is, you can't make this up. This wasn't planned about this bird. But I want you to look at your bulletin real quick, the front of it. I am the resurrection and the life. You know, Easter, we spend a lot of time, rightfully so, on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He did come out of the grave. He did come out of the grave for us. And so, but this, what about the second part of that? And the life. Not only did he conquer death and conquer sin, but he gave us life. And so that's a little extra. I didn't know it was going to be in the bulletin. But you know, we got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We spend a lot of time on Jesus, the Son, and we need to, because that's the, you know, y'all know my favorite verse, John 14:6. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we do need to spend a lot of time talking about Jesus. But we don't need to forget about the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that today. The Holy Spirit, if you like a name for the sermon, Holy Spirit dash fire. We got to get the fire of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that. So I seen that bird flying around, and it's not a dove, I don't believe, but you know, that's representation of the Holy Spirit, the dove ascending on. And so I seen that bird flying around. I thought that was, it meant something to me. Might not be nothing to you, but I liked it. I was like, okay, we got a bird talking about the Holy Spirit. Y'all flip to Matthew chapter 3. That's going to be, we're going to work off of that. There'll be some others here in a minute. I usually got a joke for y'all, but I don't have one today. Can't think of nothing. Nothing I need to tell anyway. All right. Matthew 3:11-12. If y'all there, y'all there? This is John the Baptist speaking right off the front side here. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. This is Jesus. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Okay, we need to catch that part too. The Holy Spirit and fire. Fast forward, when Jesus died on the cross, you know, we talked about that just a few minutes ago. He died for us, gave us life. He stayed around for a little while. Then he ascended into heaven. And what did he leave behind? What did he tell them? The Holy Spirit is going to guide you, direct you. If you have the Lord as your Lord and Savior, Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you got the Holy Spirit inside of you. And we're going to talk about that here in just a sec. So what I want to hit on first is, you know, if you got to have a fire, you got to have something to start the fire. You got to have some dry wood or some gasoline. You got to have a combustible, they call it, you know, if you science people. You got to have a combustible. So we're going to talk about four combustibles of the Holy Spirit that you had to have in order to ignite the fire of the Holy Spirit inside you. We're going to talk about that. Number one, it's pretty simple, the Word of God. Okay? The Word of God. The Bible is a written Word of God inspired by what? The Holy Spirit. Okay, you got God's word. How many times have we talked, and you'll hear me say it until I get ran off or die, whatever comes first. You got to stay in his word. If you want to know anything about the Holy Spirit or have the Holy Spirit or know what Jesus wants you to do, your calling, you got to be in his word. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You have to have the word of God in your heart. You got to read it. You got to study it. Brother Joe, how often do you got to read the Bible? Every day. I don't care how you do it. If you know, read it here on your phone. Get some kind of word every day from God in his word. And we can talk about some other stuff, but it don't just stop there. But we got to get in his word on a daily basis. His purpose is to guide us in faith. life and salvation. Notice how faith comes first. In that wording, you got to have faith. First of all, you got to believe it. You got to receive it. You got to accept it. Because you ain't gonna understand it 100% until we get home. Until He calls us home, you're not gonna. We ain't gonna get all of it. I don't care who you are or what you are, how smart you are, you think you are. We're not gonna get it 100%. But that daily walk with Him, He will reveal more to you as you need it. And He's going to guide you and fill you with that Holy Spirit. And He's going to set that fire in you. And we're going to talk about what we're going to do about that when He does set that fire here shortly. But I want to talk about how to get it first. So the Word of God. The Word of God has the power to convict. The Holy Spirit ever convicted you of something? Transform. We talked about new beginnings last week. What's that new beginning? You know, a new beginning, a new start, a new life. The Word of God does that, sir. Repentance. It's like we read in Matthew 3:11 just a while ago. John the Baptist said, I baptize with water for repentance. And then here comes the Holy Spirit baptizing the Holy Spirit. So you got to clean yourself up, so to speak. Take that Holy Spirit bath, so to speak, however you want to say it. So it convicts us, it transforms us, and it gives us, empowers us. What does that mean? Well, what it means is, you give it to Him, let Him do the work in you, you do things that you couldn't do by yourself. That you never could do by yourself. He would guide you and put you there. Now you know, our flesh likes to take over, you know, we get intimidated, we get scared, don't want to do that uncomfortable spot. But let Him take care of it. If you notice through the Bible, you read it don't matter who you read about. Moses, we'll use him for example. He couldn't talk. I can't either, so I know how he feels. He couldn't talk right, but God provided a way through his brother, Aaron. God will provide, if you, faith, give it to God, trust in Him, give it to Him, He'll show you the way. He'll get it done for you and stuff. What He wants is you believe in Him. You got that faith. You got that obedience you're going to give to Him. So that's the Word of God. We got to be involved in it. We got to on a daily basis. Number two, another combustible for the Holy Spirit, prayer. We're going to spend a little time on a prayer. I'm going to mess this word up as soon as I say it. I told you I can't speak good anyway. I talk funny. Adoration. Did I say it right? So I got to work on that. That's why I was slow with it. I don't want to. I can say something I shouldn't say. What does that mean? That is focus on God's character and attributes. To get lined up with God and to do what God wants you to do, first of all, you got to know what God's about. You got to know His character. You got to know who He is, what He is. You know, that's all included in the Word of God. We read it, but through prayer, we can focus on His attributes. And you can find that in Psalms 103 and 104. You don't have to look them up. You want to look at it later. It's in there. Number two on prayer is confession. So your prayer needs to focus on God's attributes. Give Him the glory. First of all, acknowledge who He is, what He is, what He's done for you, what He's done in prayer. Give to Him. And then you need to do a prayer of confession. Confess sins and shortcomings to God. Give it to Him. Turn it over to Him. He already knows. Right? You ain't going to hide it. You might think you do. You might hide it. We might hide it from each other, our mess ups. Might. But God, He already knows. What He's waiting on is that obedience from you to give it to Him. To turn it over to Him. That's Psalms 51. If you read Psalms 51, let's give you a little highlight on that. That's King David's confession, the whole chapter. It's his confession of when he adultery, murder. He did a lot of stuff in one little episode, and you can read the story about it, but that's when he truly confessed and turned it over to God and cleaned himself up. And that's what we need to do through prayer. The third thing on prayer is thanksgiving. Express gratitude to God. Thank Him. Everybody in here got something to be thankful for. Everybody. Of some sort, some level. You know, we live in, you know, we're blessed just to live in the country we live in, even though it might not look just real good at times. A whole lot better than a lot of other places. Just being here. Our freedom to do what we're doing right now. To sit in congregation and openly worship. We take that for granted. And that don't happen over other places. So give Him thanksgiving. And then last on prayer, supplication. Another big word. Which means brings needs and requests before God. He knows your needs. But He wants you instead to know your needs, that you need Him to give it to Him. That kind of role. Just give it to Him. Obedience. All this revolves around obedience. And God don't need you. Let me tell you that. We need God. But He wants you. That's the difference. He wants you to come to Him. If you do those, that's how you build a relationship with God. That's how you get that closeness when you openly give this stuff to Him. And stuff that He already knows, but He wants to hear it from you. That motto of prayer I just gave you, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. An acronym for that is ACTS, Acts. Go read the book of Acts if you want to know the explosion and the start of the early church, the first century church. And then if you look at it open-mindedly, look at the original church, the church age, it's a little bit different how we do church today. And we kind of talked at the men's breakfast yesterday. We had open. Oh, by the way, let's take a little break here. You know, I'd like to chase rabbits, so I'll go down a rabbit trail. So, now see, I'm talking noise now. I forgot what I was going to say. What was I saying? Breakfast. At the men's breakfast. So if you want to learn, if you want to really learn the Bible and know what God wants you to do and get that knowledge, it's come Sunday night, Wednesday night, the Bible studies. And so that open discussion is open discussion. We ain't going to put you on the spot. You don't have to say nothing. But when you bounce things off of each other, because look, we all in the same spot. We all learning. We all working. We're a work in progress. And so if you really want to learn the Bible, instead of open yourself up and come to some of these Bible studies and hear other opinions, other people. And so you'd be amazed what you can learn. Anyway, that's my... So I see all y'all tonight, 6 o'clock. Get that relationship with God, that Holy Spirit, that fire from the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayer. And that was my segue into the next one, talking about Bible studies and stuff. The people of God. That's another combustible. It's the people of God. Surround yourself with people of God. The concept of God's relationship with humanity. I know that's what I'm trying to say. If we're going to focus on different aspects, OC back there might have a little bit more insight on whatever it is than I have at that time. We share those things. We you know, whoever, we learn off each other. Wrap yourself with people of God and stuff, and it'll be open-minded about it. And don't think because, and I'm talking about myself here, I don't, because I know there's a lot of y'all out there a whole lot more knowledgeable than I am. And stuff. It don't matter what you call yourself, a preacher, a teacher, you still got room for improvement. You still got room to learn, to get closer to God. So you're people of God, with God's grace through Jesus Christ, first of all. And so we can get back on Jesus just for a minute. And so we're talking about the Holy Spirit, but we got the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus done for us, what he did. God's grace, he gave his son. And we just studied that not too long ago, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Because of that, we're in a situation where we can have that relationship with God through Jesus. We got to have the faith. Let me back up. I missed a spot. The characteristics of God's people. This is what you look for in God's people. Faith. First of all, you got to look at people's faith. Trusting in God and his promises. You can look at people, be around people, and know their faith in God just by their testimonies they tell, different stuff. The most important thing you can do for a witness is your testimony, because it's yours. Everybody's a little different. Might be the same situation, but things are a little bit different. Your testimony lets everybody know what your faith is and your walk with God is. And we all, if you're a Christian, you got a testimony to tell. So I suggest you have that prepared and ready. Just if you witness somebody, because you'd be asked, well, at what point did you trust in the Lord? Then that's your testimony. Then the hard one, a characteristic, is love. Loving God and loving others. Loving God, I think we can get that. Loving others, sometimes this is a challenge. Right? But Jesus set the blueprint for us on what to do when he walked this earth. Love. And the big one we already talked about is some obedience. Following God's commands and instructions. You got to have the faith. So you got the faith. Now you got to obey. You got to do what he says to do. Another characteristic of God's people is prayer. You see somebody praying all the time, a lot. He got a pretty tight walk with God, or she. And the big one, this is what we all should be working on, spiritual growth. We should be maturing, getting closer to God, seeking to know God better and grow in our faith. So surround yourself with people of God. That's some characteristics that you can see, that you know that's a person of God, and thrive to have that spiritual growth and learn. Be open-minded again. Be open-minded. Listen to what they have to say. My dad told me all my life, he said, you learn a lot more when you just sit there and be quiet about things, about people. Same thing works here. Just listen. So that's the word of God, the prayer, the people of God, the last combustible of the Holy Spirit fire, obedience to God. And we already hit on a lot of that. First of all, we got to acknowledge his authority, who God is, what he is. A lot of people don't like that word authority or submission. But let me tell you something. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then you got the other direction, you're going to belong to somebody. You're a slave to one another. You're a slave. If you like it or not, there ain't nothing you can do about it. I got a sermon I'm going to do, I think, sometime. Maybe, I don't know, ever. But on truth. You ever... about reading the truth, you hear that all the time. Well, let's do the truth. So what I think is the truth and what really is the truth could be different. But that don't take away from the real truth, which is in God's word right here. You take it right out of the Bible. And say, I done went down a rabbit trail. We ain't talking about truth now, but that's okay. Take the God's word directly out of the Bible. Have that faith and obedience of what's in there. And that's the real truth. And don't deviate from it. Don't listen to anything else. that takes away from it. So we got, that's how you acknowledge his authority, is know what his authority is, which is 100% truth. Actively seek his guidance through prayer and the Bible. Let me ask you a question. I asked this, I think, the other day. This morning when you woke up, did you seek his guidance on what he wants you to do today? Or did you just get up, I'm going to church today, which is good. But did you check with him? We need to do that daily. We need it every day. We need to wake up and say, God, this is what I plan on doing, but what do you have planned for me? Does it line up? Most likely it is, a lot of times. But he may have you do something else before you come to church this morning. Or may one of you make that phone call to somebody. Reach out to somebody. Or spend a little time in his word before you got going. We need to actively seek his guidance. This is a hard one sometimes. We need to consistently align our actions with his will. So how you do that? We just talked about it. How you, you know, ask him what you want me to do. Then you need to make it happen. Don't raise your hand, but have you ever, has God led you to do something and you didn't do it? I have a couple times. It ain't no good. Don't do it. I don't suggest it. I like what Tom Lowe says about that. And so he make you wish you would have. So align yourself with Christ. We need to recognize, when you do that, obedience, recognize the rewards of the obedience. He's going to take care of us. He's going to reward you for that. Now, it might not be what you think in your mind, what it is, but line up with God, and he will provide for you. He will take care of you. And then, you have to trust in it. Trust in his provision. He's good. Like I said, he's going to provide for you, but not be the way you, what you had in mind. But do you have that trust that it's going to work out? Is there anybody having problems yesterday, but you're here today? Right? He took care of you. He got you through today so far. And I'm sure we had little bumps in the road yesterday, I'm sure, you know, different things. But God's going to take care of you, and we got to trust in that. We got to trust in that obedience. So stay in his word of God, prayer, stay around people of God, and obedience to God. Those four things will light the fire of the Holy Spirit in you. Now, let me prepare you for something. When you do that, be ready for that conviction. Be ready for that, hey boy, you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing. Be ready for that. Because that's part of the fire of the Holy Spirit. It's to guide you and send you in the right direction, line you up. So don't be surprised when that happens. I got two sermons up here. I'm trying to decide if I want to do keep going or if I want to. So that's the fire of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we got to have the Holy Spirit. It guides us and it directs us. So let's talk about some things. Let's go ahead and do this. Let's talk about some things that will quench the fire that we bring on ourselves, that we can bring on ourselves. I'm going to talk about one that's not real popular to talk about. Immorality. That's the number one. It's called a spirit quencher. Puts out that fire. It prevents the presence of the Holy Spirit. Immorality. Paul writes, if I put it in here, 1 Corinthians 6, I think Daryl has that. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. Let me just read the scripture instead of me talking about it. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins, now listen to this part, all other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you? Now, we talked about that. The Holy Spirit's in us, and we got that fire. Who you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. That's that slave, you know, you're a slave to one or the other. You belong to either Christ or the other way. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So Paul is strictly warning that sexual immorality is a sin specifically against your own body, which is the temple of God. And the Holy Spirit prevents the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to go down the laundry list if you don't know what that is. It's some of the sexual immorality. It's not limited to, and this is all scripture, but I'm not going to give you all the scriptures, but it's in there. If you want to ask me later, I can tell you where they're at. Adultery, sexual sin, relations with someone who is not one spouse. Fornication, that's any sexual act outside of marriage, including premarital sex. Homosexuality, sexual relations with someone of the same gender. Incest, I'm not going to give that well. Relations with a close relative. Sexual activity during that time of month for the ladies. And it's all scripture-based. I'm not just saying this just to tell y'all. Lust, desire for sexual gratification, even if not acted upon, can be considered a sin. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5 about committing adultery? If you think it, you committed a sin. All those are found in Exodus and Leviticus and Romans. Romans chapter 1. If you want to go back and look, you know, make sure that but it's in there. So stay away from sexual immorality and stuff, because that's a quench the spiritual, the Holy Spirit, because the temple. And so remember when Jesus went into the temple, when they was doing all the money exchange and the selling of the animals and all that stuff, what did he do? He ran everybody out. Because it's a place of God. That place now dwells within us. You do a sexual sin, immorality, the Holy Spirit's going to run everything out. Clean up. That don't mean you can't get back. That don't mean you can't repent, truly repent, and get rid of it and get back on track. Number two, quencher. Now, this is kind of hard for some people, including me. Bitterness, holding a grudge, prevents the power of the Holy Spirit. The other one prevents the Holy Spirit from coming in. This one prevents the power of it. And so if you cannot let it go, if you can't forgive that person, if you can't, whatever the situation is, there's, you know, you got to let it go. Hebrews 12:15 tells us, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and no bitter roots grow up to cause trouble and defile many. And this is what we need to do. As a Christian, we need to get the right mindset. But let me tell you, so somebody's going to hurt your feelings. Let me just tell you that now. And y'all know that. And somebody's going to hurt your feelings. Somebody's going to say something that you ain't going to like. Somewhere, some point in time, okay? So we got to realize that they are going to happen. We can't control other people. But what you can control is yourself. With the help of the Lord, give it to God. Let Him control your actions and your words. Then we also need to reflect on God's forgiveness. That old saying, that joke I like to do, if I point at Charlie, I got three fingers pointing at me. What did Jesus say? Don't worry about the speck in your neighbor's eye when you got a plank in yours. We need it. If you notice, the way to handle these situations, bitterness, sexual immorality, is give it to God. Is to surround yourself with God, the Word of God, prayer, and stay lined up with God's will. And that's how you. That's the answer to all this. How to take care of it. Release your offender from his obligation to you. If somebody offends you, let it go. Now it's hard to do. But we can do it through Jesus Christ. He can do it. Then if you still can't have a problem with it, remember that consequences of unforgiveness. Matthew 6:15. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So keep that in the back of your mind. When you're struggling with forgiving somebody, just remember that scripture. What did God say? If you can't do it, I'm not going to do it for you. Now look, when I'm looking around at you, if you think I'm looking directly at you, I'm not. I'm not like, I just scan in the room. I got that before too. You were talking right to me. Number three. Just got a couple more and we'll be done. Spiritual quencher number three. Greed prevents the purpose of the Spirit for you. If you get hung up on, and I ain't talking about just money, if you let this world control your actions and what you do, then you're going to miss your whole purpose, here. And let me tell you, every single one of us in this room has a purpose. And I'm going to challenge you, if you don't know what that purpose is, you need to get back in God's Word. Get back in His in prayer and do what the things we're talking about at the beginning. Because you got a purpose. It ain't if you got a purpose. You do have a purpose. And whatever that may be. So we need to line back up with God. For it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill His good purpose. And I just got some examples here. And like I said, it ain't just, it's not just money. Whatever, look here, whatever distracts you or takes you away from doing God's will, that's it. That's a problem. Whatever worldly thing that is. Look at worldly things realistically. We got to have money. We got to have these certain things. We got to have that. But don't let it control you. Don't let it be your main focus. Don't let it be your purpose. Let God's purpose be your purpose, because that's what it really is and what He wants you to do. And thank God for the possessions you do have, that He did give those to you and that you use them to help further His kingdom. That's what He wants. And I did a whole sermon on this one. I'll close with this one. Number four of prevention. Prevents the peace of the Holy Spirit is worry. We bog ourselves down with worry. Everybody probably got a little taste of it some form or fashion. We got to give it to God. We got to turn it over to Him. I can't stress that enough, and I might preach that sermon again for long, because I run across daily basis at work and everywhere else people that just worry. Worry will distract you from God's will. It will distract you from His purpose. We need to learn to give it to Him. Determine the source of your fear. So what is the source of your worry? That's 1 Timothy 1:7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. You got to have that faith in that. You got to believe that. He said it. I can't put it no plainer. Give it to God. He gives you that strength, that power to overtake those worries and those. Now, there's a difference between concern and worry. We all got concerns, but he's talking about the worry that just eats you up, eats you alive, and takes you away from Him. God's promptings from him for you needs to be acted upon. So we need to do what he tells us to do. And then worry also, mentally. You ever been mentally drained, wore out, tired, fatigued? Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is rest. Believe it or not, simple as taking a nap, sitting down for a minute, take a deep breath. Let your mind clear. Decide to confront your fear. 2 Corinthians tells us godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Think of this. I want you to let that soak in a minute. Brings death. And that's straight from the Word of God. That's 2 Corinthians. I didn't tell you the verse, I don't think. 7:10. And I close. This is what I'm going to close with. 1 Peter 5:7. Deliver your fear to God. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Now, I went through a lot of stuff pretty quick and stuff. If you had that Holy Spirit, and I gave you the combustibles, get in His Word, pray, be around people of God, obedience to God, and keep that Holy Spirit going. Line up your will. Avoid those extinguishers, those quenchers. Avoid those that we talked about. Sexual immorality, bitterness, greed, and worry. The answer to all that is obedience. Obedience, obedience. I can't say it enough. Obedience and stay in His Word. No way to do it. And all that stuff will take care of itself. God will give it to God 100%. Take care of it. If you need the Holy Spirit and you want that Holy Spirit and you got that calling that God, that you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't have Him, I'm going to give you the opportunity. It's pretty simple. I want Jesus. You make it simple as you can. I'm going to get everybody to stand. I'm going to get the musicians to come forward. We're going to play some music with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If you need to come up here and give it to God, get rid of that spiritual quencher that's holding you back, come up here and give it to God or come to me. If you want that Holy Spirit, if you want that conviction, you come up here and just say, I want Jesus. That's all we got to do. And God will take care of the rest of it.